I ask that you open this up to us tonight. Speak to us and let it speak to our hearts and those places in our life where we need to hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, I sort of worked on you for about 5 minutes at the end of this thing on the secret place of your life or the secrets of your life. And I hope you've had a chance to think about it, those of you who were here. You've had a week, so we're going to look at a few more things concerning this stuff. But I want to begin by just reading to you and walking through you through this with you, verses 10 through 19 of chapter 16 of Judges. And it is the Delilah play. And Delilah said to Samson, "Behold, you have mocked me and told me lies. Please tell me how you might be bound." Now, she's trying to work him, and you girls know how to do this. I know you do, and I haven't got my running shoes on because I can't run from you. But she's working on Samson. And he said to her, "If they bind me with new ropes that have not been used, then I shall become weak and be like any other man." And so Delilah took new ropes and bound him with them and said to him, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." And the men lying in wait were in an inner chamber, but he snapped the ropes off his arms like a thread. Strike one. And Delilah said to Samson, "Until now you have mocked me and told me lies. God, come on, Samson." You know this is what she's doing. Either that or she's stomping around the kitchen, slamming dishes and stuff. Anyway, and verse 13. And Delilah said, "Until now you have mocked me and told me lies. Tell me how you might be bound." And he said to her, "If you weave the seven locks of my heads with the web and make it tight with the pin, then I shall become weak and be like any other man." So while he slept, Delilah took the seven locks of his head and wove them into a web. And she made them tight with a pin and said to him, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." But he woke from his sleep, pulled away the pin, the loom, and the web. And she said to him, "How can you say I love you when your heart is not with me?" Oh, my God. She's wandering around the house. You know she is. And the reason I know she is because she said, "And you have mocked me these three times. You have not told me wherein your great strength lies." And when she pressed him hard with her words day after day, this is not one day, this is day after day, and urged him, his soul was vexed to death. Guys, do you know what I'm talking about here? Ever been vexed? Okay, I just make sure you understand. And once again, I don't have my running shoes on, so I can't get away from them. And he told her all his mind and said to her, "A razor has never come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I be shaved, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man." When Delilah saw that he had told her all his mind, she sent and called the lords of the Philistines, saying, "Come up this once, for he has told me all his mind." And the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hands. She made him sleep upon her knees, and she called a man and had him shave off the seven locks of his head. And then she began to torment him, and his strength left him. Notice that she began to torment him. And we're going to start right here, because I raised up to you last time, there is a secret of each of us. And I talked about the riddle of Samson, but there is a riddle of you as well. And one of the things we're looking at here is we're looking at a man who betrays his life to somebody else. If you look at Proverbs 4:23, it is a proverb you should take to heart. Keep your heart with all vigilance, good. For from it flow the springs of life. It's probably printed in other different ways in other translations, but it's keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of your life. Keep your heart. Keep your heart. She tormented him, and strength left him. You know, we have gone through, basically, we went through the issues of your life, and I have had a plan this whole time. We went through the issues of your life because it is good to understand who you are and to discover the issues of your life, because out of those issues, God works with you, and it also deals with the things of your life. So we went through the issues of your life, and that was last fall, I guess. We went through the personality test also in order to show you who you are, because that's really the reason for doing these things. Then we looked at the gifts of the Spirit, and that is also about self-understanding. But I want to talk to you about that secret of who you are, the things that are part of us, each of us, that we probably shouldn't share with anybody. Samson is a man who betrays himself. There are certain, well, for that matter, you know, what I am and what I do as pastor of this church or in terms of the ministries that God has given to me, I know this, there are certain things that give me strength. And it has all tied up with my relationship with God, but there are certain things that give me strength. And I'm not going to tell you what they are. You can vex me all you want. The reason is because my life flows from what makes me tick. Your life flows from your God-given secrets. Now, when I talk about secrets, I'm not talking about evil things. I'm talking about just the secret things that are you. And that's really important for us to understand that every one of us, there is something that is the essence of you, the heart of who you are, the soul of who you are. And that proverb that says, keep your heart with all diligence, because out of it flow all those issues of your life. You better do that. And Samson is a man, and we can learn from him. He betrays himself. He betrays the things that give him strength. And it has to do with his relationship with God. You know, the Indians always said, if you can learn the name of somebody, you have control over them. You have power over them. And the riddle of Samson, it has to do with if you know what makes him tick and what gives him his strength, you have power over him. So one of the prayers that I think every last one of us should pray and really meditate on, Lord, show me about myself. And that has to do with your life, what you are, being and doing in terms of your life. I saw a movie a long time ago called Spy Game. Robert Redford was in it, and there was a line in it that said, do you know this guy? And one of the guys sitting there said, nobody does. He had secret that kept him and gave him power for his particular work. Keep your heart. Keep that secret place and protect it. Now, I asked you last week, give some of you a chance to kind of ponder on this, because I ponder on this for a long time in terms of my life, but for you it might be just the last week. So sometimes you have to let that stuff simmer and meditate on it, because you have to have some things revealed to you by God. That's why you say, Lord, show me about myself. What makes me tick? Well, he reveals his secret. Now, by the way, he reveals his secret to Delilah, but you know, it is not in the scriptures what the secret of his strength is. All we know is that there are three things that are covenant relationship in terms of who he is as a Nazarite. First off, you don't touch anything dead. You don't deal with any alcohol or anything of the fruit of the vine. And the third thing is you don't cut your hair. But there are a lot of Nazarites out there, and they all fall under this covenant. What makes him different is that secret that's in him. He's a Nazarite, and it is the breaking of that three-stranded covenant that causes him to lose his strength. But there's more to it than that. And we don't hear about that in Scripture. We really still don't know about it. Keep your heart with all diligence, because out of it comes all the issues of your life. It's the essence of who you are. It's the secret places in terms of who you are. And Jesus gave us a warning. He says, don't throw pearls before swine. Basically, is don't go giving away the treasures to just anybody out there, because it has to do with your soul. Now, let me ask you, are you aware of yourself? It's a really important question. Matthew 7:6. It's right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. He says, do not give dogs what is holy. Do not throw your pearls before swine, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. And Jesus is basically giving the principle that Samson broke. He betrayed himself and gave up his secret place. He did not protect it. You know, there's one of the Grimm's fairy, I think it's Grimm fairy tales, that talks about this. And it has to do with names, because one of the things that has to do with who you are is really who you are is your name. That's part of your identity. Anybody know what the fairy tale is that has to do with a name? Rumpelstiltskin. For that gal to gain power, she had to know his name. In other words, she had to know the essence of who Rumpelstiltskin was in order to gain power over him. So are you aware of yourself? That's a question. And it's maybe a question that I'm asking up here, but you know what? It may be the question God is really asking of you. Because what we have to deal with our identities and our purposes in life and our destiny and all that. The question is, do you know yourself? Really? You want to write this down. Part of our relationship with God is knowing ourselves, because that's where he deals with us. Those intimate, secret things that are you. That holy ground that is in you. And that holy ground in you is different than it is in me. And you don't go throwing that before swine or before dogs. That's the secret. We're talking about the riddle of Samson. Well, you know, he is a Nazarite, but not all the Nazarites were big and strong and everything else. It was him. Because what we do know about him is from his birth, before he was born, his mother was in relationship with God in a special way herself, and she was told, this boy is going to help bring about a partial deliverance of the people of Israel. Now that has to do with some of the secret things that is in him. And there's a good chance his mother told him about that. But nobody else really knows all that except mom. And she only knows it from her perspective. Keep your heart with all diligence. I'm telling you now. You know, there's one of the Beatitudes, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Well, what that means is that's not a person who is without sin. A person who is pure in heart is a person who is highly focused towards one thing. And a person who is focused towards God are pure in heart. They don't let anything in the peripheral get in the way of that relationship with God. And they will see God. And the more you're in relationship with God, the purer your heart becomes. It doesn't matter. It's not that we're not sinners. It's that we become more pure in heart towards God and we will see God. And the thing about that is, the more you walk this world and the more you're in that relationship, the more you do see God. You see God in the relationship you have. You see God in the workplace where you work. You see God in the webs and the intrigues of your life, the way that He works in terms of that. You see God in the way He works in you. Keep your heart with all diligence. Isaiah 26:3. Says this, Thou dost keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee because he trusts in Thee. Now let me tell you something. You want to know what? Perfect peace doesn't mean that you're not in storms in life. Perfect peace is that inner weather. You keep a person in perfect peace whose mind is focused on God. And trust God. So you can be going through all kinds of hell on this earth at one time, and you may have all kinds of circumstances and situations that are blowing you like bad weather. But I'm here to tell you, if you want the peace on the inside, you keep your mind focused on Him. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You know, one of the things that I do in terms of my ministry. Now, we know that Delilah was given the secret of Samson. You know why? One of the reasons why divorce is so bad is because friendships become love affairs and love affairs become places where you are one with another person. Literally, two do become one flesh, etc., etc., like that. And then what happens is that in divorce, or leading up to it, the love dies. And when the love dies, betrayal becomes the name of the game because there is no more forgiveness on either side in terms of that. And souls literally are ripped apart. And all those secret places that people have in marriage, those intimate places are ripped apart. And that's betrayal that takes place. You see, what would happen here, you know, if Delilah was not a Philistine who did not have, or who had Samson's goodwill at heart, this wouldn't have happened, would it? And what happens in a lot of divorce, Holy Crown gets desecrated. And you may have holy ground, and the other person may have a holy ground, but when all that love dies and you go to war, I'm here to tell you, all those secret places and that holy ground gets desecrated and destroyed. And these places aren't evil. They're just secret. They are just what makes you tick. They are the reality of who you are. See, they're heart secrets. And those heart secrets, by the way, are also the places where God deals with you. You know, we have that verse, be still and know that I am God. Well, the word be still there is the word yada in Hebrew, and that means be still because I'm in relationship with you like being married to you. I know the innermost things that make you tick. I am with you in terms of that. Be still and know me. And know that I am your God. You see, those secret places is where God deals with us. And we all have them. But if you bring them out to other people, and you've got Delilah sitting with you, or if you have Judas sitting with you, what happens is, if you bring them out, people can take advantage of you. They can desecrate your holy ground, which is you. That's why every last one of us here, there is a riddle about you. Every last one of us. And God deals with you in your secret places. God deals with you where whatever makes you tick. He deals with you wherever you're embarrassed or wherever you have shame. Or He deals with you with in those areas that drive you. And this secret place is the way that you do things. The things that God gives you to do. And it has to do with secret ways of doing things. I do things certain ways. As a pastor of a church, you know, you can follow me around for a week. You might learn a few things, but you're going to have to follow me around for a lot longer than that if you want to know what makes me tick and how I see things and how I work things in terms of ministry. I just do that. See, there are things that I know. It's kind of like the martial arts teacher who taught his pupils, his black belt pupil, how to do karate. And so the student challenged him. And he got in the ring, got the crap beat out of him because the teacher said, I taught you everything you know, but I didn't teach you everything I know. Now, I know this, followers of Jesus. If you are followers, if you don't follow Jesus around, you're not going to know the ways of God. One of those verses that I bring out all the time is Psalm 103, verse 7, and I can quote it to you. Here it is. And Moses knew the ways of God, and the people of Israel saw the mighty act. The reason that the people of Israel had all the mighty acts of God that took place in terms of the wilderness and the parting of the Red Sea and all that is because Moses knew the ways of God. And out of that relationship, in the secret things of Moses, in his hidden life, come the mighty acts of God. He knew. The other thing I know is if you don't follow Jesus, and when I mean follow Jesus, I mean really follow him in terms of you need to look at how God works in this world. One of the things that I try to teach the principles and the ways of God that are in these scriptures. But if you want to know about the ways of God, you also have to get into the Gospels yourself, and you've got to follow Jesus around because he is God in the flesh. And he has his ways of doing things. And the reason that Moses knew it is because of 33:12 in Deuteronomy, where he says, Lord, if I found favor in your sight, show me your ways. Well, he must have found favor in the sight of God because God showed him his ways. And ways are different than acts. There are ways that I do things. There are ways that you do things. And if I want to know your way, I'm going to have to follow you around for a while. Deuteronomy 29, if you want to know God's ways, which is much more important than my way or your way, then you've got to follow him around for a while. In chapter 29 of Deuteronomy, verse 29, it says this, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. God has secret ways of doing things. There is a riddle of God, you might say, just as there was a riddle of Samson. And it says in there, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed, that God reveals his secrets to us. Then they belong to us as well. And we begin to figure out, oh yeah, this is the way things work. God has his secrets. And you know what? It is our job to search those things out. And the only way you're going to search those things out, you got to go looking for them. Folks, you got to go looking for them. You know, I'm hoping that the fact that you show up here is one way that you go looking for them, and that I help reveal a few things. In Proverbs chapter 25, verse 2, it's a very important proverb. It says, it is the glory of God to conceal things, keep things secret. But the glory of kings is to search things out. And every one of us here is a king. We're all royalty. All you have to do is read about us in Peter. You know, you are a royal priesthood. That means you're a king. You're royalty. And it is the glory of God. It is the substance of God to hide things. And a lot of them are hid right in plain sight. But it is the glory of us. The substance that makes us is to search things out. Things that God hides in plain sight. See, God has His secrets, and He reveals them to us. And then there are things that are unrevealed to us. You know, and He's the master, and I'm the pupil. And I'm not going to challenge Him for a fight, because there are things that He has taught me, everything I know. Now, He knows the secret chambers of your life. He knows the secret chambers of my life. And he says, well, you just follow me around for a while. The disciples followed Jesus around. The feeding of the 5,000 was a mighty act of God. But if you look at that mighty act of God, it is the disciples who are learning the ways of Jesus, which are the ways of God. And it was a teaching. And it says so right there in the Gospel of John when he said, and he did this to test them, find out what they're learning. The secret chambers of your life. You know what? I know that the world is blind as a bat when it comes to the secrets of God. You know, they're just out there doing their thing, and they're not looking around, and they're never going to know the secrets of God. And they just... The people in the world go into the depths of despair and places that are secret to them. They never see it because they're not looking for them until they want to. Now, I want you to know that in the secret places of his life, all of this Samson gave away. And let me tell you, I've seen people give away their lives as well. And gentlemen, God, I hate to say it, but he gave it to a woman. I still have my running shoes on. He gave himself away, his relationship with God, and he dumped it into the bed of Delilah. And why did he do that? Well, he plays out, he lives out of his flesh, and the guy's pretty much an idiot. I mean, all I have to do is read the story, and I think, what an idiot. But there's another reason why he did it. If you look at Judges chapter 16, and so you got to look at it this way. In chapter 16, verse 4, after this, he loved a woman. The reason that he did it ultimately was he loved a woman by the name of Delilah. And he dumped it on the bed. The secret of Samson. Who I am, what makes me tick, why I'm strong, where do I get my strength, and how do I use it. He dumped it all on that bed, and guess what? That secret place was given up. If it had been a different woman, the result might have been different. Because if she found a man by the name of Samson and loved him with all her heart, I doubt if she would have betrayed him. You know, you look out there in this world, every great person that you can think of out there has secret. You look, I just watched that movie, Lincoln, not too long ago. And you know, they portray the story very well, and they give some insight into who the man was and all the things that made him tick. But I'm not here to tell you that was a movie. That wasn't Lincoln in the White House and what he really thought and what made him tick. All we get is a portrait of what people think he was like. But we do not know those secret places that he had with God. I've done a lot of looking at the World War II and especially Churchill. He's another one. Boy, he's an enigma if I ever saw one. If you know anything about the guy, but you know there are things that made him tick. It made that bulldog of a man the right person at the right time for England. God not only sent him into that situation, the same way with Lincoln. God not only sent him into that situation, but he made him. And God not only sends you into your life situations, and sometimes you're a minister out there in terms of God's agent, but he made you. He knows you better than you know yourself. Every person, the famous ones, you know, what made Steve Jobs what he was? We can look at the famous ones. Every godly person, the famous ones, and the not so famous ones. You know, you look at the stories of Martin Luther and John Knox and John Wesley. And John Calvin and some of the other reformers. You can go back and you can look at St. Augustine and Aquinas and some of the guys that came out of the Roman Catholic Church. You can go back and you can look at them and say, you know, what makes them tick? What are their secrets? More modern one is Billy Graham. Why? What was that relationship? But you and I are not so famous. But every one of us has things in secret. Parts of us that are us. That's between you and God. And when we prostitute them, that's when we betray ourselves. And that's what we do. Verses 18 to 22. I'm doing good tonight. Time-wise. We don't know about the other ways. Verses 18 to 22. When Delilah saw that he had told her all his mind, and she sent and called the lords of the Philistines, saying, "Come up this once, for he has told me all his mind." Then the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hands. She betrayed him. She made him sleep upon her knees, and she called a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. Then she began to torment him, and his strength left him. And she said, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." And he awoke from his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times and shake myself free." And he did not know that the Lord had left him. And the Philistines seized him and gouged out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with bronze fetters. And he ground at the mill in the prison. But the hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaved. There's some things in this scripture that you really ought to pay attention to. You know, we talked about how he's dismantled his relationship with God. But there's a key verse in there. He says, it's in verse 20, at the end of it. And he did not know that the Lord had left him. He didn't even know God was gone. I've seen it. People don't know that they have lost God until something happens and they try to do what he did. I'll go out and do as I did before. Not knowing that relationship with God has dissipated and disappeared. And that God has left them. I've seen it in people in church over the years. It's going on right now in this church in some people. I know it is. I pay attention because I take tour in people's lives. But it's going on right now. They don't realize that they're dismantling their relationship with God. And the way that they do it is, well, I got this figured out now. I can handle it myself. I know how God works. I'll just go on, and I can slide a little bit here or there. And what they do is they start throwing off the basics. They throw off worship. They throw off study. They throw off prayer. They throw off scripture and study. They throw off giving. These are five basics, and this is where they do it. And I've seen it happen, and it is happening right now in the context of the body of Christ that gathers here. And a lot of them are just not paying attention, or they are asleep at the switch. And all I am is a voice in their dreams. And then what happens is, as those things begin to happen, they begin to dismantle other things besides their relationship with God. They can dismantle their job. They can dismantle their relationships. They can dismantle their relationships with family, with spouse, with kids, with friends. And then something happens. Something strips him of that other relationships. And as he said in verse 20, and she said, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson. You got trouble in your life right now." And he awoke from his sleep. Oh, it's a physical picture of a spiritual truth. And he said, "I'll go out as other times and shake myself free because I am somebody. I have strength that God gives me, but he has given it up." As at other times, he just did not know that he was bankrupt in terms of the relationship that he had with God. And I've seen this happen with people. And we should all take note of it. In Ecclesiastes chapter 8, there is an interesting verse that I always kind of pay attention to, and it's one of the things that I know, if I can find the book. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11. It's one of the things that is happening in this country right now with our government and their ability to disregard principles of this world, if nothing else. Because sentence against an evil deed is not executed speedily, the heart of the sons of men is fully set to do evil. One of the things that I have discovered is that when we think we can get away with murder, buddy, we will. Until the day. If you can sin and sin and sin and you seem to be getting away with it, when the axe doesn't fall right away when it happens and it's not dealt with immediately, somebody shows you grace, and you haven't really dealt with a basic problem in the begin with, then they'll think they can get away with it. Terrorists around this world think they can get away with things because the axe doesn't fall fast enough. We have a problem in this country with money. I tell you what, our government is totally out of sync with everything that is basic principles in this world, and they think they can get away with it, and it's not the fall that'll kill you, it's that sudden stop at the end. And let me tell you, when that day comes, there's none of us going to be able to hide, and it is coming. But the reason that we continue on in the ways that we do, though a sinner does things in evil 100 times and prolongs his life. They think they can get away with it. We do it with our relationships, husbands and wives, families. We do it all the time. We let things go to a hell in a basket, you might say, in terms of our relationships. And we don't deal with things that are causing us the difficulty. And we're like the dog on a long leash. You know, have you ever seen a dog on a long leash and you're running like a... barking at the dog. But the cars, that's what happens to us. Because sentence against an evil deed is not executed speedily. And that's what is happening to Samson here. He says, I'll just go do as I did before because I've got my strength. And suddenly he realizes that God is no longer with him. Now, Samson was on a long leash. You know, he ate the honey out of the lion, a dead thing. Then he had his drinking buddies over. It wasn't bad for his buddies to drink. It was bad for him to drink. And he liked to carouse with the women and everything else, but he finally gave in and told the third thing that had to do with the essence of who he was, the secret of Samson, the riddle that made him who he was. And he came to the end of his rope, literally. I think it was Abraham Lincoln that said that a little bit of hanging will focus the mind, but sometimes we're at the end of that rope and we are hung. And Samson didn't know he was at the end of the rope. And I tell you what, I have seen it because I see people. They don't know when they're at the end of their rope. Christians who say, I will rise up as I have before. Now, verses 21 and 22. This is a scene, if you can put it in your head. And the Philistines seized him and gouged out his eyes, brought him down to Gaza and bound him with bronze fetters. And he ground at the mill in the prison. But the hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaved. If you see the scene, the eyes are gouged out. Blindness is what that is. You know, God's people, and we all have these secret places, when the Lord's anointing is taken away, the world will cause you to lose your sight. You don't just lose your strength. The world will cause you to lose your sight. You can't even see your enemies. And that's where Samson is. Now, one of his big issues and one of his biggest weaknesses is women. But buddy, he can't even see the women now. He can't see them at all. So one of the first things that goes when the world gets over you, and the Philistines, by the way, have always been a picture of the world along with the Egyptians. The first thing they do is they steal his sight. And that's what the world does to us. We can't even see our enemies anymore. And they're right there in front of us. The second thing is they change the bondage to things of this world. That's what he's being done to him. It's a picture. It's a physical picture of a spiritual reality that happens to Christians when they betray themselves. The third thing is the treadmill. What did they do to him? They gouged out of the eyes, they put him in fetters, and then they made him go round and round on that treadmill, grinding grain. Grinding, going around in a circle. You know, when you're doing that, you never get anywhere. You're just grinding. And so the three things that happen to him, he's blind, he's in bondage, bound up, and he is grinding. And the world is grinding him to powder. Reminds me of making bricks without straw. The world will grind you to powder. This is not a children's story. Have you figured that out? I mean, we teach this stuff in Sunday school, and I'm here to tell you this is a terrible scene. This is a judge of Israel, folks. This is one of God's chosen. His name is mentioned in the saints in Hebrews chapter 11. He's a man of God. And we're watching him be destroyed. He is blinded. He is bound up. He's in bondage. And he is grinding away. This is a terrible scene. The New Testament says simply, if you bind a strong man, you can have his house. You know, if you're a strong man, if you can be bound, the world can take your stuff. Can take your house, can take your relationships. Samson played the fool. Boy, and I tell you what, we can do the same thing. He played the fool. But thank God for verse 22. That the hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaved. The hair represents the grace coming back. The anointing returning. It's cut off by the trickery of this world. His strength with God. Now, Samson couldn't see it anymore, but I expect he could feel it. He could feel it growing. And one of the things that we don't know, remember the secret places. The secret places of your life, the secret places of my life, the secrets that make you you. Samson is in prison. I don't know, it doesn't say anything about this, except the hair growing. How many times do you think he talked to God? When he was in prison. When he was going around on that grindstone. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. That's what Joyce Myers does, right? Every day, grinding away at him. What do you think he was talking to God about? Do you think that he even listened to God? See, we don't know the secrets of that time either. When he was grinding day in and day out. And I don't think it was just grain he was grinding. You know, maybe there was a lot of things being set right in him during that time. We don't know. But we do have the physical reality of the hair growing back. You know, I have seen people over the years return. God's people. Some of them are very much like Samson. You know, they've been out there and the things of this world has dragged them down and killed them, or they've been tricked into it. They've revealed themselves too much. They've blown that relationship they have with God, and then I see them as they come back. Like Samson in many ways. Verses 23 to 25. Now the Lord of the Philistines gathered to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to rejoice, for they said, our God has given Samson, our enemy, into our hand. And when the people saw him, they praised their god, for they said, our God has given our enemy into our hand, the ravager of our country, who has slain many of us. And when their hearts were merry, they said, call Samson, that he may make sport for us. So they called Samson out of the prison, and he made sport for them, before them. They made him stand between the pillars. Now what he has, Samson has a loss of his testimony. He is no longer considered a threat as a judge of Israel. And it fuels the fire of the people of the world. You know, we have watched over the years Christians like Samson, Protestants. You know, Jimmy Swaggart and Jim Baker, many, many years ago, what are they doing? They're doing the same thing Samson did. Basically, they lived out of their flesh, and they got taken down. And you know what the world does with them? The world made sport with him. Look at Jimmy Swaggart. I remember him being on Saturday Night Live. And all the sport they had with him. You see, I want you to know the truth. The people of this world hate God and Jesus. Because the question of the universe is who's in charge. The authority of the universe. And the people of this world hate God. And they hate Jesus, and they hate Christians. And don't think you're not in a fight, because you are. The world hates Jesus. More recently, we've had all these Catholic priests being attacked. And you know what? What are they doing? They're doing the same thing Samson did. They were living out of their flesh. And the world makes sport with them. And then there are not so famous people. People we know. And the world makes sport with them. And they say that what we believe is not real. Individuals who stumble in their Christian walk and their witness, and the world loves to make sport with them, because the world hates Jesus and it hates Christians. I want you to remember something about Samson. Even though he failed and he lived out of his flesh and everything, he did deliver the people of Israel from the world of the Philistines and the bondage of the Philistines for 20 years. You need to remember that as well, as they're making sport with him. Verses 27 through 31. Now the house was full of men and women. All the lords of the Philistines were there, and on the roof were about 3,000 men and women who looked on while Samson made sport. Then Samson called to the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be avenged upon the Philistines for one of my two eyes. For some of you, you have two eyes in there, right? There's some question about that, whether it's one of his two eyes or for his two eyes. I'm going to go with one of his two eyes because of the way he was. And Samson grasped the two middle pillars upon which the house rested, and he leaned his weight upon them, his right hand on the one and his left hand on the other. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And then he bowed with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were in it. So the dead whom he slew at his death were more than those whom he had slain during his life. Then his brothers and all his family came down and took him and brought him up, and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the tomb of Manoah, his father. He had judged Israel 20 years. Wonder what they put on his tombstone. I don't know. This is just something I think. How the mighty have fallen. I don't know. Maybe. You know, we don't know what he has been doing in prison. We do know this prayer that he says. And I think that one of the things that it says in mine, it says one of his two eyes. you know, he's always tempered by his flesh. And the reason I picked that translation to look at, because there's some question in the Hebrew as to whether it's the two eyes that he has or one of his two eyes. You know, half of his sight has to do with his vision and his life, his relationship with God and his relationship to the world. In a sense, he only watched God with one eye, I think. The other one, he watched the world that he lived in and the things that intrigued him through the flesh. So I think that in some ways that prayer, one of my two eyes, really works, because it's half of his life. And what he does there, he says, let me avenge myself. And God answers the prayer. And he destroys that temple. I want to end tonight with some of the lessons that of Samson and his downfall. And so you just have them to write down. I don't know if I wrote those down for you or not. Did I? On the second one? Oh, yeah, I did. First one is this. If you look at the whole life story, he failed to admit or conquer his own weaknesses. Now, the key is both those words. Admit to them. A lot of times, that's one of the first problems we have is acknowledgement. We won't acknowledge, hey, I got an issue here. I got a problem. I've got a weakness in this area. Because until you at least admit to it, it is difficult to conquer it. And he failed to admit or conquer his own weaknesses. The second thing is he trifled. He made light of the sacred things of his life. Now, he was a Nazarite, but not all Nazarites had his strength. But he had a covenant that was laid upon him by his parents. And so he was raised up in that household, and so there were things that were given to him. Now, he didn't make that covenant. He was born into it. And there's some things in this life that we don't choose, that we are born into. And he made light of that covenant, and those had to do with the sacred things of his life. And when it comes to you, do you trifle with things that are sacred? And as I say, this little bit of self-understanding here is really important. Knowing yourself. And you can pray that prayer, Lord, help me know myself. The third thing that he did, he didn't take God seriously. He was too busy. In fact, we heard it in his. He treated God a lot like he treated his parents, which is, get me that woman. Like, hello. You know, I remember Bill Cosby in his program, when kids were giving it, he says, well, you just go on out there and you discover America. But he didn't take God seriously. Now, in the book of Proverbs, two Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And in another place it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And that's a healthy respect for who you're dealing with in terms of your life. He did not take God seriously. The fourth thing that he did, he revealed the secrets of his life. He betrayed himself. I see people do this a lot. They betray themselves. And the world gets a hold of you because you've revealed something about yourself that can get to the essence of who you are. He betrayed himself. Others played into it. In this case, it was Delilah who played into it. This is not just another kid's story. This is about lives. And it can be very personal. For personal application, What dead things do you touch? What is your valley of the red grape? Who or what is your Delilah? What dead things do you touch? What is your valley of the red grape? And who or what is your Delilah? And finally, where do you find yourself most likely or most often slipping away from God? Where do you find yourself most likely or most often slipping away from God? Priority one, do you see and admit weakness in certain areas? Priority two, do you take God seriously? You know, we all have deals. We all make deals. We all have relationships. We all have vows that we've made with God. You have to search your own soul in terms of that. We all have. We make deals. We have a relationship with God. We made them in the secret place, in the secrets of your heart. Have you slipped? It's a good thing to ask yourself on occasion. Let's pray. I don't know what we'll do next week, by the way. We'll see. Lord, I ask that anything I said tonight might be worthy of your name, that it would be worked into our secret places. And all the rest can just fall to the ground. In Jesus' name, amen. Guess we need to move the tables.